Today, share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamud Ches. We're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas Max Dombrov. All the Shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We begin on Lamud Ches and Aleph, already about 11, 12 lines down, right next to the Tosu's Dersiv, with the words, Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Shemen Bar Abba says the name of Yochanan on the following halacha. Eved Shebarach Mibei Suasurim. If an Eved broke away, he was captured, and he broke away from Goyim that had captured him, and he was an Eved Kenani, and now he's no longer captured by the Goyim, but he was previously an Eved Kenani to a Yid. So now, Yotzu L'Cheres, when he goes free, he escaped from them, so he automatically becomes a free person. The Mefarshim explained that the original Balaam had given up hope of ever getting him back, so therefore, he is considered a free person at this point in time. And at this point in time, he no longer has to serve them. He is no longer their Eved, even if they were to return him. But we do not allow him yet to go and marry a Jewish woman. So, therefore, furthermore, Elishakof and Esrabo, the Kosef lo get shichur. We require the original owner to go and write him a get shichur, a document stating that he no longer is an Eved. And this way, the nafgamina is that he is allowed to go and marry now a Jewish woman. He is a full-fledged Yid. He had been an Eved Kenani. He had Tvila, he had Mila, so he had all of the Dinim Keisha. And now, by being captured and then running away, breaking away from those captives, he has bought his freedom, so to say, because the original owners have given up hope of getting him back. And the only difference here is that he needs a get shichur, according to Rav Shemin Bar Abba and the Rav Yochanan, in order to go and marry a Jewish woman. Gemara questions this, however, because elsewhere we have a statement that is made in the name of Yochanan that seems to contradict this. Tanan, we learned in our very Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Benkach uBenkach, whether the Eved who had been captured is now being redeemed L'shem freedom or L'shem Avdus, whether he is still being redeemed by the new Jewish people that are redeeming him to be an Eved or to be a free person. Nevertheless, in both situations, Benkach uBenkach, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Yishtabet, he goes back to being a slave to the original Balaam. Yabba Rabba Barbachan, Omer of Yochanan, Komokom Shoshana, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mishnosenu, Halacha Kamoso. And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan, as quoted by Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, said that we paskin like this Rav Shimon Gamliel. In fact, we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel when he's in a Mishnah, with three exceptions to this rule. So therefore, Rav Yochanan clearly says that Benkach uBenkach, whether he was redeemed by the Jewish people to be an Eved still, or even to be a free person, he goes back to the original owner. We paskin like this, Rav Yochanan says, with three exceptions. Chutz mi Arev, a case of an Arev, a guarantor, that the Gemara elsewhere describes, and you can see this in the Masoras HaShas, there are many places where this similar statement is made, these three cases. So in the case of an Arev, in the case of a Get and Sidon, which is an Ar Masechta, we'll see this later on, Lekaman on Daf Ayin Hey, Omen Aleph, and in addition, there is a third case, there are actually two cases in that Gemara, and the first one, we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but in the second one, Uraya Achrona, in the second case, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So with the exception of these three cases, Ari Tzidon and Raya Achrona, we always paskin Rav Yochanan said, like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So how can you, Rav Shemin Bar Abba, say in the name of Yochanan, that in fact, this Eved goes L'Cheres, when he breaks away, he goes L'Cheres, but when he's redeemed, he doesn't go L'Cheres, he goes back to work for his Baal Rishon. So the Gemara answers, this question doesn't apply to Abaye. And yesterday's year we had a machlokas between Abaye and Rav as to how to understand the Mishnah. So Bishlomel Abaye, in the way we understood the Mishnah yesterday, it works out well according to Abaye, who said that our Mishnah is talking about Moki Lo Lahai Lifnei Yeyush. So our Mishnah, which Rav Yochanan says we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, since we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, including in our Mishnah, with those three exceptions, our Mishnah is not one of those three exceptions. So the reason why Rav Yochanan could say that he paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah is because that case is talking about Lifnei Yeyush. The Baal HaRishon has not yet given up hope, and that's why Benkach uBenkach Yishtabe, he has to be returned to the original Baal HaRishon. And that's why our Mishnah is not a contradiction, V'hai, when Rav Shemin Bar Abba said in Rav Yochanan that when he breaks away from the Beis HaAsurim, he goes L'Cheres, it's not a contradiction to our Mishnah, because that case is L'Achei Yeish. That's talking about after the original Balaam gave up hope of giving Benny their slave back. And therefore, there's no stira. The two cases are talking about two different things. Our Mishnah is talking about, as Abaye had said, Lifnei Yeish, and the statement of Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, is talking about after Yeish. So no problem that in the case of our Mishnah, he's Mishtabe, and the case of Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, it's Yotzer L'Cheres. But according to Rabba, Elul Rabba, who explained our Mishnah as also talking about the Amar Li'acha Yeyush, so we seem to have a stira, Kash, the Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan. How can Rav Shimon bar Abba say in Rav Yochanan that he goes L'Cheres? And in our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan possibly, Rav Shimon Gamliel, that he goes, in fact, back to being an Eved. There's a stira within the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So how would Rava answer this? So Amalek Rava, Rava would explain, no, he says, time of my, what is the reason that in our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan, Paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that even though it was after Yeyush, Li'acha Yeyush, nevertheless he's still Mishtabe, that was because of the concern that Rav Shimon Gamliel had expressed, Mishum de Chizkiya, because of Chizkiya's concern that every slave, if he knows he's going to go to free, if he gets redeemed, so they're going to go throw themselves into captivity and take the chances that a Jewish person will redeem them, and then they'll be a free person. So they'll try their luck, as I had said yesterday, and therefore Chizkiya said, we always make them back to be Mishtabe. So that's why in our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan, Paskel, Rav Shimon Gamliel, because of this concern about Chizkiya, even though it was after Yeyush, we don't want the Avadim to go and constantly throw themselves into captivity, let themselves get captured so in the hope that they get redeemed and become free. But in the case of Rav Shimon bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, that's different. Boreach Shiny, that's a totally different case, because Hashta Liktala Moser Navshe, when this slave tries to escape from captivity, it's upon the potential pain of death. If they catch him, they will kill him. He's trying to escape, they're going to kill him, or they're going to torture him, or they're going to give him a hard time. So therefore, nobody's going to voluntarily do this, let themselves get captured, and then try to escape. So therefore, there's no concern of the gzeira mishum dechizkiya, that all of a sudden, all the slaves are going to let themselves get captured in the hopes that they get redeemed, they'll become automatically free. That doesn't apply in the case of Boreach. Apule apil nafshe legayosos, is anybody crazy enough to go and get himself captured and then try to get away and break away, because that's upon the pain of death? So therefore, the two cases are separate. The case of being poed, that, yeah, Rav Yochanan says, we possibly should be able to say, yishtabed. However, in the case of Boreach Shiny, that's different, because nobody's going to let himself get captured and then try to escape, because that would be a very dangerous thing. So therefore, even Rabbi says there's no steer between him passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, like Rav Yochanan says, we always pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel and Mishnah, so we accept those three exceptions, and our Mishnah is not one of those three exceptions, versus him saying Boreach Shiny. Once there was a Maisa, Amsei Demar Shmuel. Shmuel had a slave woman, Amsei Demar Shmuel Ish Tabai, and she was captured. Now, Parkua Lushum Amhosa, so people went and redeemed Mar Shmuel's Amsei, and they did this l'shem that she should go back to being a Shivcho Kinanis, an Amose of Mar Shmuel. So they sent him back, the woman, Vishadrua Le. They sent this woman that they redeemed back to Shmuel to be his Amose again. And they also told him as follows, Shalchu Le, we paskin anan kirab shem gamliel sirulam, which means that we redeemed her, even if we did it l'shem cheres, but we did it l'shem abdus, so she goes back to the original Baal HaRishon, which is you, Mar Shmuel. Anan k'rab Shimon Gamliel Sirulon. And furthermore, at, even if you, inami k'rabbanon Siruloch, even if you hold like the Rabbanon, nevertheless, anan l'shum amosa parkino lo, nialo. We didn't redeem her for freedom, we redeemed her to be back as a slave woman. And therefore, even if you don't hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, no matter what, benkach or benkach yishtabe, so even if you want to hold like the Chachamim, so we nevertheless redeemed her to be a amsa of you again, and therefore she goes back to you no matter what. And the Gemara says, however, they made one mistake. The inhu, these people that were kind enough to go and redeem this woman and return her back to Mar Shmuel, they held the inhu savor lifnei Yeyush Haba, that Shmuel hadn't yet given up hope. However, the bottom line was, v'lohi, Shmuel, in fact, la'acha Yeyush Haba, he had given up hope of ever getting her back. The people that had captured her were not usually the type that would either allow her to be redeemed or would give her back. So therefore, he gave up hope of ever getting her back. And therefore, Shmuel held that in this situation, acha Yeyush, so then she goes free. Now, what did Shmuel do in this situation, Lamaisa? When they returned it to him, Shmuel, what did he do? Lomi boye de estube lomishtabibo. Not only, he was very honest, of course, Shmuel, this is the great Shmuel, he, of course, paskin that this woman is now free, she's not a slave woman anymore. Ella, not only that, Ella Gita de Cherusa Nami Luitzuka. He says, this woman is a full-fledged Yiddish woman right now. She had been originally an Amor Kinanis and had been had tefillah and was a full-fledged Amo Kinanis, Shivcho Kinanis, and now when she goes free, she doesn't need anything else. She doesn't even need a document stating that she's a free woman. She's an absolutely full-fledged Yiddish woman. She's like a Gioret, and she go marry a Yid even without having any sort of a document. That's Shmuel's opinion. Now, Shmuel, l'taimei, Shmuel goes according with his reasoning that he expressed elsewhere. What did Shmuel say? Damer Shmuel, Shmuel held. Hamafkid abdo. Yetzi l'cheiros, ve'enot tzorach get shichur. Shmuel is of the opinion that when you are mafkir your eved, you make the eved essentially no longer owned by you. You say, I no longer own this eved. If you're mafkir your eved, so then that eved goes free and is totally free, and doesn't require a document, a get shichur, to state that the Eved is now able to marry a Jewish person, but the Eved, whether it's a man or a woman, now is a full-fledged Yid, and can go and marry within Klal Yisrael. And this is based upon the Pasuk. Shenamar, as the Pasuk tells us, B'chol Eved ish miknas kesef. So the Pasuk tells us that every person who is the Eved of an ish, who was purchased with money, miknas kesef. So, what is the pasuk telling us? Eved ish, lo eved isha? Is the pasuk trying to tell us that only a man can own a slave, a woman can't own a slave? That's not true. Obviously, anybody can own a slave. Elo, eved sheyesh lo rishus l'rabo olav kori eved. If the eved has to work for the master, then he's called an eved ish. But if he doesn't have to work for the master, she'ein lo rishus l'rabo olav, a person who is free, so he doesn't need a get shichra, ain't kari eved, and therefore automatically he's free and doesn't require get shichra. That's Shmuel's opinion, and therefore in this case of the Amasi, the Mar Shmuel did a shtabai, so he, when the woman was returned to him, he let her go free, and she was a full-fledged free Jewish woman and did not require get shichra. Another Maisa Shaya, another case where Amasi, the Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, ishtabai here, it was the slave woman of Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra who had been captured. And again, Parka Hahu Tarmuda Lushum Itza. There was a certain guy, a certain person who came from the place of Tarmud, that's the name of a place, who redeemed this woman in order to go and marry her, and he wanted to take her as his wife. Now, Shalchu Lei L'Didei. So the rabbis sent to Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra what he should do if he wants to do the right thing. So Shalchu Lei L'Didei Iyos Avadit. If you want to do the right thing, Shidar Lo Gito De Cherusa. Go and send her a document that says that she's now a free woman. Now how does this work? Kechi Domi. What exactly were the rabbis instructing Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra to do? I Dematzu Parki Lei. If in fact the rabbis would have been capable of redeeming her themselves. In other words, this Talmud who redeemed her would have been happy to go and be paid whatever he redeemed her, maybe a little bit extra, and then give the woman back. So then, Lama Ligita de Cherusa. So why did the rabbis tell Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra that you have to write a get shichra? Go and redeem her, and you don't have to write her a get shichra. And then she can be back to be your slave woman again. E de lo matzu parkilei, if this Talmud, if this guy was absolutely unwilling to go and sell her back to let her be bought from him. So then, Kishoda Lea Lo Gito de Cherusa, when Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra goes and sends this document that states that she's a free woman, my Havi, how's that going to work? As Rashi says, Hari Kvusha Hi Biyad Hovi Kochavim. This guy, this Tamuda, is in fact taking her. So his get shichur that Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra is going to send is of no value. Why will that help anything? So again, we're trying to understand what the rabbis told Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra. If you want to do the right thing, iyos avit, so shtar lo gita de cherusa. How does that work? What's that going to accomplish? So Gemara explains as follows. La'olam, in fact, de matzu parkila. In fact, the rabbis did have the power to go and redeem this woman from this tamudah. He would have been willing to go and let her go and be paid off. However, v'kivon, the Mishadr law, however, when you go and send this get of Shechur, even the Mishadr law Gito de Cherusa, now if Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra goes and sends this document, people will now go and be willing to pay off this Talmudah to go and let this woman go back. Chabure Mechabre Ahadode Uparkila. As Rashi explains, the Bnei Yair would go and collect money amongst themselves. Ahadode Uparkila. They would go collect money because they held it was only a mitzvah to go and redeem a Jewish captive. And if she was going to go back to Avdus, they held. Avol L'shem Avdus, Rashi says, Lo Hirotsu Lufdosa. Lo, to go and redeem it to Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra. Hey, You want her to work for you, so you redeem her. The last Luda Rishimon Ben Gamliel. They don't hold like the opinion of Rishimon Ben Gamliel that says that Benkach or Benkach, whether it's a woman who's going to go free or whether it's a woman that's still be an Eved Kanani or a man, same din. If the man's going to go free, Benkach or Benkach, or whether he's going to go back to be an Eved, Rishimon Ben Gamliel says there's a mitzvah to lift Osa. But they didn't hold like that. They held like the other opinion says only a mitzvah lift Osa if she's going to be free as a full Jewish woman or as a full Jewish man. So therefore, that's why they told Rabbi Abba Zutra, go and send the Gita de Cherusa so the people will be willing to go and redeem her. That's teretz number one. Rabbi Yisrael, alternatively, you can say teretz number two, Liolim, in fact, the lo matzu parkila, this Talmudah was not willing to go and let this woman be redeemed. He wanted to keep her as his wife. However, once you, Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, go and send this Vekiva and the Mishad, the law, Gito de Cherusa, if you go and send this document saying that now she's a free woman, he's going to be embarrassed to go and have her as his wife. Because Mitzilah Biapei, it's going to be in his eyes that she is much less worthwhile, Umefarik law, and then he'll let her go free. Because, as Rashi says, Vibnei Shiagala Lechol, it's going to be clear to everybody that she has this document that emancipated her, Sheshivcha Sisrolaisa, that she once was a Shivcha, and he doesn't want his wife to be looked at all. Yeah, that woman was once a slave woman. So therefore, he is not going to want to keep her, and if you send this Gita de Cherusa, he will eventually go and let her go, or at least let her be redeemed. He may not let her go for free, but he'll let her go and be redeemed, even though originally he wasn't interested in her being redeemed. So that would be the purpose, the Ibayis Ema, as to why the rabbis instructed Rabbi Abba Zutra to go and send this Gita de Cherusa. More questions this second Terence and says, wait a second, are you telling me that Mitzilah Biapei or Mefarikla, that she's going to become diminished in his eyes, she's going to become less valuable and worthy in his eyes if it's well known that she once was a slave girl? But we've said elsewhere, there were goyim in those days that were so vulgar, that were so immersed in immorality, that they even preferred to have the animals, Rachmon Lutzlan, of a Jewish person to commit various acts of bestiality with, Rachmon Lutzlan, than even their own wives. So how can you tell me that, oh, Mitzilah Biapei, that, oh, she's going to become less valuable in his eyes if she's known to be a slave woman? If she was an animal, he would be happy to have Rachmon Lutzlan relations with her. So why would it be less valuable in his eyes if she was once considered a slave woman? So Gemara says, no. Hani mila betzina, abu b'fahesya zila b'milsa. What they do in private, so they do nebuch all sorts of immoralities in private. However, in public, they don't want to be embarrassed. So therefore, if it was publicly known that she was once a slave woman, yes, it would be mitzilah b'yapei umifarik law. However, in private, they do all sorts of immoralities. Again, this was a different time and a different understanding of how the goyim worked in those days. These dinim, or these applications of these dinim, don't necessarily apply today. Okay, the Gemara continues with another story. Hi, Amsa, the Havas Mepumpadisa. There once was a woman who was a Eved Kenani, an Amor Kenanis, who lived in Pumpadisa. The Havu Koma Abdeba Inshe Isura. And unfortunately, everybody treated her as a wanton woman, a woman of low morals and low character, and they all were doing various sorts of isurim with her. In other words, they were having tashmish with her. So Abayi suggested, Amar Abayi, Ilav the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, call him Shachar Avdo over Biasei. If it wasn't for the fact of Yehuda sent in a Shmuel that you're not allowed to go and free an Eved Kenani or an Amor Kenanis, that you're not allowed to go and free a Kenanite Eved, so you over in Asei if you do so, because the pasuk says that you have to have them work for you forever. So if you free them, you're over that pasuk. So anybody who's b'shachar in Eved, according to a review of the Mishmuel, is over this assay. So Abai said, since this woman is acting in the being treated in such an immoral way, have a kaifina le limora, the cause of law gito de cherusa. I would go and force her master to go and free her and write for her a document stating that she's now a free woman, a gito de cherusa, and this would prevent her from being taken advantage of by all these other people, because now she'd get married and her husband obviously wouldn't let her go be treated in that way. The people would be ba'abdi ba inshe isura. That is Abai's suggestion. Ravina Amar, however, ki hamoda Rav Yehuda mishum milsa disura. He says no. In this situation, even Rav Yehuda, who said over the name of Shmuel, they called him Shachar Avdo over Be'asei, would say that doesn't apply in this situation where the woman was being unfortunately used for immoral purposes by all the men. So therefore, to prevent that from happening, even Rav Yehuda and Shmuel would say, in this situation, you're not over an asei if you go and free such a woman. Gemara says, wait a second, Abaye also holds like that. Why did Abaye say, oh, if only it wasn't for Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel saying that you can't free such a person, I would free them. Ravina said, well, they're doing all sorts of terrible things here, so you're allowed to free her. Abaye also holds you're allowed to free in this situation. But Abaye, Mishum Yisura Lo, Abaye says, no, even though they're doing immoral things, you can't go and free her. Abaye says, you also can free her. Because, so I'm a Rav Chanina by Rav Ketina, I'm Rav Yitzchak, Rav Chanina, who's the son of Rav Ketina, said over the name of Rav Yitzchak, that there once was Nebuch HaMaisa, Beisha Achas, a certain woman, Shechetz Yoshev, Chova Chetze Baschor, and she originally had been owned by two people, let's say, Reuven and Shimon owned her, Reuven freed her, so she's a Chetzio Baschor, but Shimon hadn't freed her. So now she's Nebuch in a very difficult position. She can't go and marry a Jewish man because she's half a slave. And she can't go and be married to a guy, have relations with an Eved Kenani because of the Chetzio Baschorin. Return to Lamed Ches on the days. So in this situation, what did they do? The kof was Rabba v'yasor baschor. So the rabbis forced Shimon, who was still the owner of half of her, to go and free her. So this way she would be able to go and be married to a Jewish man. And on that mice of Amrib Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Minog Hefkenogubo, why did the rabbis insist on this second owner, the Baal Sheni, to go and have to free his half that was still a Chetzio Eved, or Chetzio Shivcha, because they were Nebuch treating her in this inappropriate manner. There was nobody to protect her. She didn't have a husband. So therefore, Minog Hefkenogubo. So you see that Abaye holds from this as well. So Gemara says, no, the two cases are different. How can you compare the two cases? Hasam, in the case that we just brought down, where she was chetzi eved, chetzi ben baschorin, so in this situation, Hasam lola eved chaziv, lola ben chorin chaziv. She wasn't able to be married by anybody because she was half of a free woman, and therefore that half can't marry a slave. And she was half of eved, and that half of her that was a shivcha can't go and marry a yid. So therefore, she had nobody to protect her, and therefore, minok hefker no agubah. However, in our case, where Abaye said if it wasn't for the fact that it wasn't us, that it was us to go and free her, otherwise he would have freed her, even though they were treating her with minok hefker, so hocha efshor the biyachid loli avde umantula. No, he could have given her to a Eved Kenani to be her husband. And now, that she's, quote, married to this Eved Kenani, so he's not going to let his wife fool around with anybody that comes along, so he will protect her. So there was an Eitzah, and therefore Abaye said, since there's an Eitzah to prevent this Minok Hefker to be basically treating her in this fashion of immorality, so there was an Eitzah. Let her get married to an Eved Kenani who will protect her. As opposed to the case of the Chetzio Baschorin, Chetzio Eved, so there is no way that she can be married to anybody, neither a Yid nor an Eved Kenani, and therefore there will be Minok Hefker, and therefore you have no choice and you have to go and force the owner of her, the owner of the Chetzio Eved, to go and free her. Now we go back to discuss the statement that we just made from Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Gufa. Let's go back and discuss Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol Meshachar Eved Avdok Over B'Yaseh. Anybody is freeing an Eved Kenani, so he's over with Yaseh. And as I mentioned, it's based upon the Pasuk, Shnemar Li'olom Bohem Ta'avodu. Because the Pasuk says that you will always work them. In other words, you're not allowed to go and free them. Where it says, wait a second, we have a Maisa, where one of the Tanoim did free his Eved. Meisvei, we have the following Braisa, Maisa of Rabbi Eliezer, that once was the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, that had an Eved, Shenichnas Bevesachnesis, and he went to Shul with his Eved, and there were only nine people there. Lo Motzasara, there are nine people plus his Eved. The Eved normally doesn't count for a minion. So what did he do? Mishichru Avdo. He freed his Eved, now they had 10 Yiddish men, because the Eved Kenani was originally Toivold and had bris milah and was l'shem Eved Kenani, he had mitzvahs ke'isha, except he normally wouldn't count for a minion. However, once he becomes a free man, so he's a full-fledged yid, now they got 10 men. They have 9 men that were born from birth, and then you have the 10th guy, who's a ger. So therefore, v'shichru avdo v'shlimo liyasara. So how can you tell me that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that anytime you free an Eved, you're over b'yasei? Are you telling me that Rabbi Eliezer was over in asei by freeing his Eved to make the minion? So Gemara says, no, the obvious answer is mitzvah shiny. If you're doing it for a mitzvah, so then that's different. You only have le'olam b'hem tavodu if you're going to free them for no good reason. That you shouldn't do, le'olam b'hem tavodu. But if you have a good reason, i.e. a mitzvah, you need the guy to make the minion, so then Rabbi Eliezer was willing to go and free this person to make the minion. That's mitzvah shiny. Gemara, however, now brings down Bryce, and it has a slightly different take on this Pasuk. So Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk, Li'olam Hem Tavodu, so not everybody agrees that it's an absolute. This is a Rishus, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, it's a good recommendation, but it's not a chiyuv that you must serve, have them serve you. And if you choose to, you are allowed to free them. So it's a rishus, you have permission, you're not a bad person, le'olam behem tavodu, but it's not a chiyuv. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Omer Chova, Rabbi Kiva says, no, this pasuk is giving us a commandment, ba'ol le'olam behem tavodu, and therefore you're not allowed to go and free them. No. So why don't we suggest that the Dilma Rabbi Eliezer Sobe Lo Kiman Diyama Rishus? In fact, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yishmael. And that's why there's no kasha on how could Rabbi Eliezer free the servant. He doesn't hold that it's a chova liolam behem tavod. He says it's a Rishus. And here, he chose to go and free it. He wanted him for a minion. You don't have to say mitzvah shiny. You could say that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yishmael, that it's only Rishus. Someone says, don't even think that. Lo sol kedai toch, because the Tanya Behedja, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chova, because we know Beferish that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer said Beferish. No, it's a Chova. The Olam Tavod is a Chova. Therefore, we have to come on to the answer of Mitzvah Shiny, because otherwise, there's no way that Rabbi Eliezer would have gone and freed the slave. Mark Katina says, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi tells us, Bahani Tlos Mile, Nochasi Bale Batim Minichosei Hon. For the following three Averos, Rachmona Luslan, Valabayis can go and lose all of his possessions and become an impoverished person. What are these three things? Number one, the Mafke Avdayu L'Cheru. So if he goes against this Pasuk Liolam Bem Tavodu, and he goes for no reason whatsoever and frees his Evid Kinani, so then HaKosh Baruch says, oh, you don't want property? I'll take away your property. Mida Kineged Mida. The Mafki Avdayu L'Cherus, Hashem says, you're getting rid of your property, I'll get rid of the rest of your property. So therefore, a person should not do so. Second one is Udesaire Nichsayu B'Shabasa. A person that goes, he doesn't do an actual Isser, but he goes and checks out his fields on Shabbos. As Rashi says, Masayu Nichsayu, Sedoseyem Nistaklim B'Shabbos Leidat Ma'intzrichen. He goes to see, no, this needs a little bit of watering after Shabbos, this one needs a little bit of weeding after Shabbos. So he goes out on Shabbos to go check out his properties. Hashem says, that's not why I gave you properties. And therefore, you go and check them out on Shabbos. I'll take it away so you won't have to worry about checking them out on Shabbos. So you'll be able to spend Shabbos properly. That's the second reason why people, if they do this Aveira, they'll lose their property. And the third one is the Koboye Sudosayu Bishabasa Beidan Be Medrasha. The people that go set up their Shabbos afternoon meal at the time that the Rav is giving Shir and Shul. As Rashi says, in Dira Masko Beidan Be Medrasha, Kishachacham Doresh Droshos Lerabin Bishabbos, at the time that the Rabbi is giving his Shir Shabbos afternoon. They're still eating lunch. They should have eaten faster, or they should have eaten after the shir. You don't miss the rabbi's shir. So these people that were using their money basically to say, well, I have a meal to eat, I have Baruch Shem, a big meal to eat, I can't go to the rabbi's shir. So Kosher says, okay, I'll take away your big meal to eat. Next week you'll be able to go to the rabbi's shir because you won't have anything to eat. So for these three Averas, as I pointed out, it's really Mida Keneged Mida. So Kosher Baruch Hu makes these people impoverished if they do these things. And we have Maisa Shoya, Damar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, in regards to the last thing, where it says that if you have your meal at the time that the Rav is giving his shear, and therefore you don't go to the shear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away your wealth. So that is in accord with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in Rabbi Yochanan, that there were once two mishpachos, shtei mishpachos in Yerushalayim, that this happened to. One of them, Achaz Kovis Udosa B'Shabbos, so one of them made their meal on Shabbos afternoon, and they became impoverished because of it. The Achaz Kovis Udosa B'Erev Shabbos, so one made the meal, quote, on Erev Shabbos. We'll see two explanations of this in Rashi, what it means on Erev Shabbos, and both of these two families, these famous families in Yerushalayim, Ushteyam Nekru, they both were uprooted. In other words, they became impoverished. Now Rashi gives two explanations for what does it mean according to the second one. The first one, we know Achaz Kovis Udosa B'Shabbos, so that we just said, because they were eating during the time that the Rav was giving the shir, the Shabbos afternoon shir. But what is the first one? That they were Kovei Suda on Erev Shabbos. So what does this mean? So Rashi and Dibra Masel B'Erev Shabbos gives two explanations. The first one is that it's the Friday night Shabbos meal, the Erev Shabbos, the Lele Shabbos, the Ein Kan Kovod Shabbos. While they were eating the big meal on Friday night, in order to be able to go to the Rav's shir on Shabbos afternoon, they would have their big meal Friday night and only have a smaller meal on Shabbos afternoon. That's not right. The Kaimelon Kovod Yom Kodem L'Kovod Laila. So the bigger meal is supposed to be Shabbos lunch rather than on Friday night. Both of them are Shabbos meals. Both of them are supposed to be nice. But the bigger of the two, if you have a fancier dish, if you have a fancier challah, you're supposed to save it ideally for Shabbos lunch. And therefore, even though the reason why they had their bigger meal Friday night was so that their lunch meal shouldn't go so long and they'd be able to get to the Rav Shir in time. So even though they did it L'Shem Shemayim, they're still held accountable for not giving proper cover to Shabbos. That's Teretz number one. Teres number two, maybe what most people were thinking, the Iko de Mefarshe, Rashi says there's an alternate way to understand this, and that is Be'erev Shabbos Mamash. That means that they ate Erev Shabbos. People have, very appropriately, they have Toamea Chaim Zochu. People are supposed, there's a mitzvah to taste, not eat, but to taste the food on Erev Shabbos to make sure it's properly salted, it's properly cooked, because if it's not, you still have time to go and correct it. Mistakenly, people sometimes sit down and they have their entire suda. This especially in the summer, coming up in the long Shabbos days. People don't want to eat so late at night and they don't have an earlier minyan. So they'll eat supper at 6 o'clock at their regular time like they do every night. No, they make Shabbos at 8 o'clock. They come home from shul. They're not hungry. They already had supper. So they just have a little something. They wash and they have challah that they don't really eat. So that's not proper. So that's what Rashi says. Vika the Mefarshi, the Erev Shabbos Mamish. The Chei Mechoyom, Merov Osha, because they're so wealthy, they eat every day at 6 o'clock. And now they're having their Friday meal when it's not Shabbos. And that's improper. That's actually an iser. She connects the Shabbos kishu soveya below taiva. It's improper to go into Shabbos when you're already satiated and you're not going to have any taiva for the Friday night meal. So that's improper, and that's why this family was punished. No, you're so wealthy that you have a big meal at 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon when it's not yet Shabbos. The Kosh Baruch will take away your money, and therefore you won't have such a big meal, and therefore you'll be hungry still going into Shabbos. Okay. More continues with another statement of Rabba. I'm a Rabba, I'm a Rav. Here, Rabba says the name of Rav. Hamakdish avdo yotzu l'cheres. If a person is makdish his eved, and we'll have to discuss exactly what does it mean when he's makdish the eved. So right now we'll just use the generic terms. He made his eved hekdish. So yotzu l'cheres, the eved goes free. Now, what's the reasoning behind this? What does he exactly do when he was makdish avdo, my taiva? Because Gemara says, gufe lo kodesh. When he said, I'm makdish my eved, he wasn't making the guf of the eved to be hekdesh, and lidmei lokamar, and he wasn't saying the value of the eved should be sanctified. What he was saying was the lehevei am kadosh ka'amar. He was saying, let this eved join the am kadosh, let him become a full-fledged yid, and that's what it meant when he said hamakdish avdo, therefore yotzo lecheres. Now, why did the Gemara learn like this? So Rashi explains that gufei lo kadosh, you can't make the Eved himself, his body, be hektish, because he's not royal in Mizbeach. He obviously can't be brought as a sacrifice, and he's not better kabayis. So therefore, that's not what he meant. And likewise, l'demei lo kamar, he didn't mean that he should go and be for the value, because hayololomar, demei avdi olai. If that was the case, he should have said, the value of my Eved, I'm being makdish. He used a different lashon. He was makdish the Eved himself, and therefore, the heavy am kadosh, it must mean in the next Rashi, Yismol Gomor. He meant him to be a full-fledged Yid, Dichsibbo, because says Balas, Ki am kadosh ato. We are considered a holy nation to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he did not sanctify him, neither his gov nor his value. And Rashi further adds, Ulo domi lemakdish behema. This is different than a person's makdish behema tmeya, a animal that is not a kosher species. So you're makdish your horse to the base of Migdosh, the awesome. Even the lekel memer bought the tevi am kadosh kamar. He obviously didn't mean that this horse should go and join the am kadosh, be a member of Klai Yisrael. So therefore, al karka, you have no choice but to say l'dmei kamar, that he was consecrating the value of this horse. In that situation, even though he didn't say that the value of this horse I'm giving to Hekdish, he obviously is saying that I'm giving it over to the Beis HaMikdash, Limocher. Abel Hoche, in our case, the Shaycha Begufei, Loshon Kedusha, here we could understand this, that he should be joining the Am Kadosh, so Lo Amrin Lidmei Kamar, since he didn't say Lidmei, so we don't say he meant Lidmei, we say he meant Am Kadosh. That's how Rabba Amar Rav learns. On the other hand, the Rav Yosef Amar Rav, Rav Yosef learned in the name of Rav, the words not Hamakdish, but Hamafkir Avdo Yotzul Cheres. He stated over the name of Rav that if a person makes his Eved Hefker, that means the Eved goes L'Cheres. Now the Gemara explains as follows. Mandi Amar Makdish Rabba Amar Rav, who said the Lashon that Rav used was Hamakdish, so Allah has got a comma, Kol Shekein Mafkir. Certainly, if you use the Lashon of Mafkir, that's certainly, if you even Makdish, makes him go free, so certainly Mafkir makes him go free. However, according to Rav Yosef of Rav, who said that Rav held Mandioma Mafkir, that Rav had used the terminology Mafkir specifically, that's only true that he goes free if he uses the Lashon of Mafkir. Avo Makdish, if he used the Lashon of Makdish Avdo, so then lo, he doesn't go free because, like we had originally said, Rabba said not like that, but maybe, according to Rav Yosef, Rav felt that Dilma Lidumei Kamar, when he said Amakdish the Evid, it wasn't to be Am Kadosh. One could logically assume that maybe he meant that he should be the value of this Evid of giving to the Hekdish, obviously not the Evid himself, and he didn't mean that the Evid should be Am Kadosh. In the Beis Medrash, they asked the following Shaila based upon this rulings of Rab Amarav and Rav Yosef Amarav. Ibailu, they asked in the Beis Medrash, does this Evid, whether it's Makdish according to Rabbah, and certainly Mafkir, or just Mafkir according to Rav Yosef, Tzorech get Shichur or Lo Tzorech? In this situation, when you were either Makdish or Mafkir, the Evid, do you still need to give a get Shichur, or is he considered a full-fledged free Yid without a get Shichur? So let's bring a Raya from the following. Toshma, Tomer Rechia Bar Ovin Omer Rav, Rechia Bar Ovin said the name of Rav, that Echot Zev, Echot Zev, whether you're Makdish or you're Mafkir, he goes free, but Vitzorich get Shichur. He still needs a document, a get Shichur, saying that he's now able to marry a Jewish woman. Rabba questions this, and he says, Umos Vinan Ashmaisen, and we ourselves ask the following questions. Rashi says, Ashmuas Atzmenu. Rabba said the name of Rav, Rav Yosef said the name of Rav, and we ourselves asked on this, why would you need Rav to also say that you need to get Shichur? Because Hamakdish Nechosov, we have, in general, if a person is Makdish, all of his Nechosim, and included in his Nechosim, he has Avadim. Why you bam Avadim? So, included in his general statement that he's Makdish, all of his property, all of his possessions, he's also including in them Avadim, so they're also Hekdish. It states, Beferish there, Ein HaGizbar in Rashay and Lotzi L'Cheiris. The Gizbar doesn't have the right to go and free these slaves that were now given over to them. What should they do? Abu Mochu no song liacherim. They go and sell them to other people. They belong to the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash sells them to these other people, and the other people, if they wish to, the acherim will see themselves and go and free them. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama in this brisa. Rebbe Yomer, on the other hand, Rebbe says, Omer Ani. I mentioned many times the Marshak, the Shlomo Kluger, brings down. When Rebbe uses the Lashon Omer Ani, it means he doesn't have a specific raya. But basically he's saying, gestalt of all my Torah learning tells me this. And that, he says, you have to deal with very seriously. When Rebbe says Omer Ani, which we find throughout Shas, he uses this expression, that's Rebbe saying, this is my gut feeling. And Rebbe's gut feeling, with all of the Torah that's infused with him, carries a tremendous amount of weight. So Rebbe says, Av who no saying to me, Atzmav Yosei, not only can the Gizbar go and sell him to somebody else, they can even sell him to himself. Let's say he has money that isn't owned by his previous owner, so therefore that's his own money. So he can take his own money and go and free himself. That's what Rebbe says. Why? Mipnei shu kimokwalo, because just like the Beis Din can sell, the Gizbar can go and sell him to somebody else, they can sell him to himself as well. Because the Gizbar can go and sell the slave to himself. Now, what do you see from here? The Tanakhama, as well as Rebbe, holds that the Beis Din does basically own this person. So how can you tell me that Rabba, who said the name of Rab, when you're Makdish, it doesn't mean that the Beis Din owns him? So how come the two cases seem to be different? Rabba said the name of Rav that the Beis Din doesn't own him. It was just, he made him Kadosh to become part of the Am Kadosh, and he's freed. Whereas this Brisa, both the Tanakhama as well as Rebbe, both agree that the Gizbar owns him, and they have the right to sell him. So the Gemara says, what's your problem? Masnisin, Koromis, Alei, the Rav. This Brisa argues with Rav. Big deal. Rav, Tanahu, Upali. We find this throughout Shas. Rav, while he's the first of the Amoraim, is also considered the last of the Tanoim. We often have at the end of the Tkufa, you have a great, great person coming along, and he, so to say, is the clear end of that Tkufa. So Rav is both the Tana and an Amora, and therefore Rav has no problem. All the other Amoraim, they can't really argue with a Brisa, so that's not 100% correct, but in general, the Amoraim accepted upon themselves not to argue with Brises, albeit we find throughout Shas, there are cases when they do. But in general, they don't. Whereas Rav is different. Rav is considered Tanahu and Upalik, and he has the right to argue with his Brisa. So you can't bring a Raya against Rav from a Brisa, because he can disagree with the Brisa. All the other Amarayim, when we say, I've heard Tanya, it says in a Brisa this, so how can you argue with them? So that's a problem for the Amarayim, but it's not a problem for Rav. So that's what the Gemara says. You're trying to slug up Rabba in the name of Rav? Rav Tanahu Upalik. Gemara doesn't stop there. There's another Brisa, Toshma. We quote the Pasuk. The Pasuk is Ach Kocherim V'Gomer. The rest of the Pasuk is Ach Kocherim Asher Yocharam Ish LaShem Mikol Asher Lo Me Adam U'Bebehema U'Mistei Achuzaso. So this says that a person who makes something a Cherim, a Cherim could either be that he's giving it to the Kohanim or he's giving it to Hekdish. So what a person does is it says Me Adam. So when he makes his Adam into Hekdish, what does that mean? The Gemara says, Elu avadav v'shivchosav haknanim. He, according to this brisa, goes and gives over his eved or his shivcha to the Beis HaMikdash. So clearly you see that he is able to do so. So again, Rabbah, Amar Rav, how can you say that it means that he's giving him over when he's makdishim to be part of the Am Kadosh and he's freeing him? So Gemara says, what is this brisa talking about? Hochma yaskinon, the Amar Lidmei. The brisa is talking about that he says Lidmei. He didn't say over here that I'm being makdish this when the brisa is explaining the pasuk, ach kocherim, and it says, mei adam, it means he's giving over lidmei, and not being makdish liam kodosh. Now, Rashi points out that we don't say over here, Rav Tanahu Apollo, because here, this isn't a Tanoic opinion that we're bringing down, this is a drosha of the pasuk, and therefore, that would seem to be something that Rav would agree with as well. So therefore, we give a different teretz, we don't say Rav Tanahu Apollo, we just say that in this situation, we're dealing with a situation where he said, essentially, Lidmei. Gemara says, if that's so, Ihachi, Iduch Nami, Domal Bei. So then say the other Braisa, which we brought and said, Rav Tanu Upali, why don't we say that's Lidmei? So just like you're saying the second Braisa is Lidmei, so say the first Braisa is Lidmei. Gemara says three reasons why that's not true. Because if you want to say the first brisa is Lidmei, then we got a problem. Ihachi, ena gizbar mashorim lotzion lecheirus, so gizbarim mayav detayu. If you're telling me that the first brisa is talking about that he was giving it Lidmei, the value, and not the slave itself, so then why would it have to tell me, ena gizbar mashorim lotzion lecheirus, that they're not allowed to free him? Gizbarim mayav detayu. They don't own him. They only own his value. They don't own him, so the brisa wouldn't have to say that the gizbarim can't go and free him. They're allowed to sell him. So, it said in the second statement that they're allowed to sell him to somebody else, but if they don't own him, and then they sell it to the other people, and the other people can send him free. How could they do that if they don't own him? If it was only the Dmei. And furthermore, so when Rebbe argues with the Tanakam and he says, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe goes and says, Omer ani, af who knows him to me, Atzvul Yotze, that they can actually sell the rights of this slave to himself, so that Mibeshu Kimochu lo, because he's buying himself, so to say, it's no different than somebody else buying him. So again, the Elid Mei, my Mibeshu Kimochulo. Again, how could they sell him if they only got Lidmei? So obviously the first brisa can't be understood as it's Lidmei, and therefore it's the Lashon of Hamakdish, and that's why we said that Rav Tanu Poli, he has to argue with that first brisa. But the second brisa could be Lidmei, and it's not a problem. Toshma, we learn another brisa, Hamakdish Abdo, Osev Yochel. If a person's Makdish is Eved, so then the Eved is still allowed to go and work, and anything that he goes and works with, he's allowed to go and eat. It doesn't have the status of Hekdish. Because Shaloh Hikdish Elodomo, because this brisa says it was only the Dmei. The value of this Eved was being Makdish, but not the Eved himself. Now, according to you, Rabba, Amar Rav, so then we don't say it's Lidmei. We say that he was joining Klai Yisrael. The Lashon of a Makdish meant that he's joining the Am Kadosh, but here in this brisa, clearly you see that he's not to be given over a Makdish Abdo to join the Am Kadosh, but it means that it's Lidmei. So again, Kasha New Rabba, Amar Rav, and we turn to Lama Tesamad Aleph for the answer. And the Gemara says, you know who this is? Homani, this brisa is Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Why? The Amar, ain't no the motzi dvar l'batal. Rav Meir is famous about shatz to say that a person doesn't say something that's not true to a certain extent. He doesn't say just stam things that are wrong. And therefore, we have to figure out a way how to make this person say something that is true. And therefore, according to Rav Meir, when this person said he's makdish es avdo, and then therefore it is going to be Osevi Ochel, it must be that this person didn't really mean to be Makdish the slave, but he was being Makdish the value of the slave. And I'll show you that this is right. It's not just Stama Teretz, Hochelam Mistabra. Because keep on reading this Bryce of the Tony Sefer, the Chain Hu, Shehikdish Atzma Osevi Ochel. Likewise, if a regular free person, a Yid, goes and is Makdish himself, so he's still allowed to do work and eat from it, because Shalohikdish Elodob, if he only meant to go and be Makdish his value and not himself. Now, if you say that this is Rav Meir, it makes very good sense, because a person doesn't want to say something, he said he's boxing himself, so in what way? It must mean Lidmei. Yamas Bishlom Rav Meir, he shopper, it makes very good sense. But if you're telling me, El Yamas Rabbanin, if you say this goes like the Chacham who argue with Meir, and they say that yes, a person does say things, and we don't have to go and reinterpret them. So, Bishlom Avdo Lidmei. So for the Eved, we could say, yeah, he's meaning it obviously Lidmei, because an Eved can be sold. However, Ihu, Lidmei Koy, a person doesn't sell himself. He's a free person. So therefore, that can't be the way to understand it. Therefore, you must say that this brisa is going according to Rav Meir. And therefore, this is the das of Rav Meir. And Rabba, Amar Rav, doesn't hold like Rav Meir. They hold like the Chachamim. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir. Have a wonderful day.